Yo, people, Anna David with After Party Pod. After Party Pod is a part of After Party Magazine, a website determined to change the face and get rid of the stigma around addiction and recovery. Now, After Party is a part of RehabReviews.com, the world's largest resource for treatment centers across the globe. You can go there to see if your rehab stay could be free. Go to RehabReviews.com/benefits-check. What else can you do there, you may ask? You can get a Recover Girl t-shirt. Just go to rehabreviews.com/after-party/shop. Anyway, you'd know all of this if you were signed up for our newsletter. What are you doing? Go sign up, rehabreviews.com/newsletter-sign-up. Now here's the show.
Welcome to the After Party. It's time to change. You're just getting started. You can teach an old dog new ways, and not just on Saturdays.
Hey, y'all. Anna David with After Party Pod, podcast about addiction recovery. And today, it's about what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real about recording devices. You're used to me having recording problems. If you're a regular listener, this was a whole new level. Related to dropping the recorder, related to it then not charging, related then to Rob Patterson showing up, and I have a dead recorder, and he happens to mention that he's a, I don't know, like a sound guy. He, of course, he's a musician. You'll hear all this. He had the ability to take the recorder apart and put it back together and then gave me a 9-volt charger so that it could charge like a crazy super speed charger. Unfortunately, I discovered after recording this fantastic interview that you're about to hear that what I did busted the internal part of this recording thing. So this is the second version of the intro that I'm recording because the first one sounded awful, not good enough for your sweet ears. And so I now have a sound guy who's working on making the interview sound fantastic, dulcet toned. But anyway, and this is an interview. God, we really hung out. It was broken up into three parts because circumstances kept intervening. And in between these three parts, he and I were in constant communication. It was sort of like hanging out with a new friend for a few days, which would never have happened otherwise. He's someone that I've sort of known from afar for my whole sobriety and not known at all. And we get into that. And let me tell you about who he is in case you don't know. He is a guitarist. He was the guitarist for Korn from July to March 2008. He's been in many other bands, and if you thought he was dead, I've got good news for you. He's not. There was a death hoax about him. He didn't know it. You get to hear me tell him about it in this interview, which is so very meta. For you gossip magazine folks, he was engaged to Carmen Electra for many years. And yeah, that's it. This is a good one. You guys are going to like this. This is Rob Patterson.
I first started taking drugs by chewing blocks of hash.
Oh my God. I think my copy has like blood stains on it from shooting up while reading it.
Party animal. I hate to say that because that makes me sound Paris Hilton-y. I was on the Autobahn to nowhere.
I'm very lucky because would you have wanted to have a celebrity junkie for a dad?
I don't know what you're doing, but I'm about to find out.
Yeah.
While you're doing it, can you hold the mic up?
Yep.
Okay. So you're apparently
I have an iPhone app here that I made last night.
You made an iPhone app last night.
Hold that.
Shit. Okay. So what's happening, listeners? He's handing me this like weird thing that looks a little bit like an earplug or a vibrator. Okay, it's
exactly
a vibrator.
What it is.
You made a vibrator.
Yes, but it's powered by Bluetooth, and so like you can have the app, or somebody else could have the app. All this would be like much obviously smaller.
Oh my God.
Like
so from
go to fancy dinner and then
okay, so from
nuke
your
the girl.
Yeah.
Or guy.
But she's gotta have it in her for
or,
it.
You know, Velcroed on or something. I don't know. I didn't think about that. I just found that thing and I just decided
I wonder
if I could make it
God.
Wireless. And there's the it's very simple.
Oh my God. They're virgin ears. It says pussy on, pulse pussy off.
Is it working still?
No, nothing's happening. Okay, now it's happening. It's like a pulse. Yeah. I know about vibrators. On. Yeah. That's a pulse as well. And that's off. That's amazing.
It wasn't that hard.
This strikes me as something that somebody would do on speed. And yet you did it sober. Isn't this... I never... I never... Like, isn't this what people do, like, when they're on meth?
They write apps on iOS?
They take whatever crazy contraption that is with the yellow and orange cords, and they put them together. But usually, what I hear...
I don't know about that. I've never seen someone on speed actually know how to use microcontrollers.
Oh, I mean, I don't even know what that word means or what that is. But I will say that I think what people do is that they, like, decide... They're like, I'm going to make a computer phone. And they take apart their computer and take apart their phone.
Does it ever work?
No, of course it doesn't work.
That's the difference, I think.
But that's amazing. So you knew...
It's kind of like... I mean, I've been doing this stuff for not that long, but I've been like into computers since I was a kid. I actually got busted for computer hacking when I was 14.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
You're not kidding. But I would not think that, and I'm making this up, that like musical talent and computer, I guess I would get that they go together, but not like this.
Well, I mean, to get like more of a history, my father... was a cellist. For the Boston Symphony Orchestra for 42 years. Is this thing still working? I'm going to have to fix the recording device that we're using.
I know. Wait, hold on. That reminds me. I'm going to get my second recorder, so we're double recording.
Okay.
I'm, you know, very professional here. Hang on.
I'm going to stick this thing up my bung hole and try it out.
Okay, don't shock the listeners with whatever you're doing. I can't control it. Listeners are accustomed to me having a lot of various and sundry recording issues, so it's too bad you're not here every time. But
you need
this
to just record it, not use that.
What do you
just
mean?
Get something else.
What, not use the second one? Oh, okay, anyway, what happened today is that I dropped the recorder in a bit of frustration yesterday, and so it wasn't charging, and so Rob walked in here with a knife that he put to use by taking this thing
and
apart.
What do they call them? Those little bags of speed when they're like teener?
Yeah, I guess. A teener, I guess. I don't know.
We're
boring sober people.
Person.
I wasn't either.
I didn't, yeah.
So your thing was...
I like being more aware.
Right. Well, it's interesting. I always said when people talked about doing acid or even mushrooms or ecstasy to a degree,
yeah,
it's like,
not my thing.
I didn't do drugs to expand my mind. Like, I did it to close it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it started off not that way.
Okay, so let's talk. I mean, so start off. So you grew up and you were into computers and music and drugs?
No, I didn't take any drugs until I was almost 26.
You're kidding.
No.
So where'd you grow up?
In Natick, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I read that. I went to college in Hartford, Connecticut. That's kind of close, right?
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes away.
Yeah, a lot of people were from places like Natick or whatever.
Well, Natick is only famous for one thing. And Doug Flutie, who's a football quarterback.
Okay.
Who won the Heisman Trophy.
Okay.
If you're into football, you'd know who he is.
Right.
I mean, I know who he is because he's from Natick.
Well, you are, I just learned yesterday, famous enough to have had a death hoax.
A what?
A death hoax.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Wait, are you kidding me?
You have to understand something. I don't, like, search myself. Or do any weird shit like that.
You did not know that there was ever a day that it was rumored that you died.
No.
Okay, you've heard of these things.
Yes. It was like on Twitter or some shit.
How could you not know? How could no one have told
you this?
You
need to find this and show me.
I mean, is it possible it's another Rob Patterson? There's no way.
Maybe they're thinking of that other asshole.
Who's the other asshole?
The one that has a name similar to mine that's in some vampire movie.
Oh, God, no. Not Robert Pattinson. No. It's you, and there were all these people that were very upset, and it turned out you were alive.
What? Maybe I'm not alive.
What if that's the case?
So if that's the case, then is this hell or is it heaven?
Well, obviously, I'm here.
So it's hell.
Stop it. okay, that I'll show you this story. Okay, wow. Okay, so Natick, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And what's happening there? You're being a good
Nothing.
Kid. Nothing's happening.
I mean, I have a sister that's 4 years older than me, so she started, like, partying and stuff, and it just, none of it really looked appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was an alcoholic. Just, I was kind of disgusted by the whole thing. So I kind of just locked myself in my room, and my parents got me a computer, which is an Apple IIe, if you want to look that up. Mm-hmm. This is in 1985. Mm-hmm. And there was no internet, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
And there was no, you know, high, nothing. Just like dial-up. They didn't even call it dial-up because it wasn't really.
That came in 93.
There's no dial-up. There's no, yeah. there's no network to connect to. You mm-hmm. just connect from my computer to the other computer. Mm-hmm. And so I just did that. And then I got into this kind of like underground, like hacker world. And I basically didn't go to school. And I just stayed in my room and just did the programmed and explored, basically. That's what hackers are. They're just kind of like explore shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. this would be considered hacking.
Right,
hacking
right.
this shit together, it's the same thing.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I used to think of hacking simply as breaking into some place to obtain something.
Right.
Which is what I got busted for, by the way.
So how there was not much to hack back in those days.
I mean, yeah, there was.
Okay, so what did you hack?
I'll explain what happened okay. really quick. So in this like underground pseudo hacker world, there were these kids, and everyone would like threaten each other with shit. And mm-hmm. One of the big threats was like, I'm going to get your parents' credit card number and charge a bunch of shit to it, and yada yada yada, right? Mm-hmm. And so this one kid said something like that to me, and I was like, you have no idea like what you're doing or what you're talking about. So I had a friend who lived in Texas, another hacker named Eric Bloodaxe. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't even be saying any of this.
Oh.
That's okay. And Eric, I knew that he knew, his thing was like credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. It was called TRW back then. Mm-hmm. And I said, instead of me like sitting there all night trying to figure out how to get into this thing, I just, you know, called my friend and said, mm-hmm. hey, can you get a credit file from a phone number? Mm-hmm. He goes, absolutely.
Wow.
So within like an hour, my phone rang and my computer answered, and in came this file of the kid's mom's credit file.
Oh, my God.
Now, back then, it had everything on it. Expiration date, full numbers.
Right.
Like, you could really do some damage.
Right.
So my ego took over. Mm-hmm. I called the kid up on the phone. Mm-hmm. I said, get a pen, mm-hmm. write this number down, and read it to your mom. Click. Mm-hmm. That was the end.
So you didn't even go and charge anything?
Nope. But the cops were at my house the next day, and I was in bed. Now, mind you, back then, nobody really had, like, storage. So everything was on floppy disks. So, like, whatever was in the, like, on it was in the, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It was on the disk. And so my mom, who's Puerto Rican, she's always threatening that this truant officer, I don't even know if truant officers actually exist. Do they? Or is it something parents,
is it like something like, from fiction?
Like the boogeyman.
I think they do, but go on.
My mom knocks on my door and says, Robert, the truant officer is here. And I'm like, huh? So these two guys walk into my room. They're not the truant officer. It's the a detective from the Natick Police Department.
Okay.
Some other guy.
Isn't that worse than a truant officer?
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But my mom, that's what she thought.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Apparently. Or she wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
So the shit's on the screen. I'm busted.
Right.
Right? So he takes the disc out, which now wouldn't be legal, but.
Right.
So he's saying all this stuff, asking me. I'm like, oh, some guy up, blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I'm just trying to get him out of the house, basically. So they're like, oh, we have a problem. This is so-and-so from TRW. He just flew in here for this. And we'll be back tomorrow. And I was such in a fantasy world. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, maybe they won't come back.
Right.
So I had a hard drive, which I was the only person I knew that had a hard drive. And it was a whopping 2 megabytes.
Right.
And it was $2,000, that thing.
Yeah.
By the way. And so I didn't do anything hard, but I hid all these like notebooks and stuff. I had all like anarchist cookbooks, all that kind of crap.
Yeah,
the
kids
had. They came back the next day.
Yeah.
And I was at a place called Papagino's, a pizza place.
Yeah.
And I was walking home, and there was like 5 cruisers in park in front of my house. And literally, it was like a movie. The guy was walking out with my computer as I walked up.
Wow.
And I started crying. He's like, why are you crying? I'm like, that's literally everything.
Right.
So fast forward court for, it seemed like a year. My penalty was I couldn't have a computer for a year, and then when I got it back, I couldn't have it in the same room where there was a phone line for an additional year. So I started playing guitar.
Okay. Today, you would be in prison, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Except I was 14.
You would be in, like, juvie.
Something would have happened, yeah.
Okay,
but they didn't have that law then.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Now, there's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, people still do shit like that all the time. But, I mean, nobody would call the dude up and say, read this off to your...
Nobody would do that, because they'd know better. So, okay, so you pick up a guitar.
Yes.
So this ended up being a fortuitous event that they took your computer away.
Yes.
So, and you...
I'm kind of regretting it, actually.
Regretting what?
Because if I'd stayed with the computers...
Well, you know, I grew up in San Francisco, moved back to, you know, the Bay Area after college. This whole Silicon Valley thing is happening. I'm like, I was just so close, and I just, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Well, you know... Yeah, so I did that.
But world famous musicians. So how can you...
Oh, I don't know about that.
You're famous enough to have a death hoax that you don't even know about.
I guess. I mean, I thought that when I had a, got a pic with my name on it, that that would be it. Like, I've made it.
Right. But do you think... Don't you think that whenever you have something like that, you're like, you just want the next thing that's going to prove that you made
well,
it?
Well, if you're having a pic with your name on it, nowhere means anything, really.
I didn't even know that that was a thing. It sounds really impressive.
Well, that
to
was
me.
Just my own... You know, oh, when I finally get a, you know, whatever, a record deal or what, there's always something, you know what I mean?
But you did. You yeah. have had all that.
Yeah.
So then.
And here I am, homeless, broke, and making devices that vibrate.
You know
via
what?
Bluetooth.
But okay, so talk to me about this, like, this journey. Okay, so you teach yourself to play guitar?
Yes.
And you just happen to have a guitar or whatever. No. Got one.
I mean, my parents got me a guitar. And I blackmailed him into getting me like a really nice guitar because my dad, when he was, I forget if he was 17 or he was 21. I get the numbers mixed up. But my grandfather bought him a cello.
Mm-hmm.
It was either 17 grand and he was 21 or he was 21 and it was 17 grand.
Okay,
I forget
yeah.
which
I do the same
one,
shit with numbers, yeah.
My dad just sold that cello like a couple years ago for about $1 million.
Wow.
Of course, he didn't tell me because he knows I would have. Hit him up for money. Anyway, so I said, well, Grandpa bought Dad a cello. Like, this guitar is $1,200,
mm-hmm.
which seemed like a lot back then.
Yeah.
And there's no way they could say no.
Yeah.
Because the price, it's still way, you know what I mean? I just used, and they did. And, you know, of course I got rid of that guitar and now that one's worth 44 grand. I'm kicking myself for that.
Okay, but hold on. Didn't you make a fortune playing for Korn and all of that?
What's a fortune?
I
was stupid with my money.
Right. I mean,
I was very dumb. I'm not good with anything except for playing guitar and making circuits, banks.
But also,
money.
We all get screwed over. You and I were having this conversation about banks and how much they screw us over. But I do feel like you hear stories about musicians getting like screwed over by managers more than anything else. But okay.
Yep.
Okay, but so what happened to you is, anyway, you're playing guitar, you...
I practiced 8 hours a day.
Yeah. And did you, because you were in a big band before Korn, right?
Well, I was in a band called OTEP.
Yeah.
That's the one that we got the record deal, and that's the fucking over story, but that's a whole other thing.
Okay, well...
The singer was a girl.
Uh-huh.
Decided one day, after we had parted ways, to have her brother call the record company and pretend he was me
mm-hmm.
and simply change the address where my royalty checks went.
Oh, my God.
For years, I thought the album just stopped selling.
Oh, my God.
And I found out, like, much later on, after I just agreed to do another album with her and didn't know. She obviously knew the whole time, but I did another album. And in doing that, the bass player was like, oh, yeah, the just call this number of EMI people and talk to them. So I called them and they're like, no, you've been getting the checks. Like, and I said, well, where are you sending them? And she started saying the address and she didn't even have to finish it. I was like, were they cashed? Yes.
So what did you do?
I had to send me, it was literally the maddest or the angriest I've ever been ever, except for one other time. I got the checks. I was in Vegas with my fiance at the time. And I went and picked him up, and I'm in the elevator looking at him, and they're all forged, my signature. And then he started just doing paid the order of for deposit only, but like $22,000 worth, which is not, it's the principal more than the money, although I want the money.
That's
but
money,
like,
though.
He denied the whole thing, and it's like, you can't, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
and so to this
and,
day.
But what really angered me more than that was the fact that 2 weeks previous to that, I finished the record with the person who stole my money.
Oh, the girl or her brother?
The girl.
What's wrong with this girl who's like bringing you back into the fold?
She's a fucking cunt.
Right. You're allowed to swear on this podcast lest you are worried.
I don't hate literally anyone in the entire universe except for her.
Right.
And I mean, there's no other way to describe it. So she knew the whole time that she had done this to me.
Yeah.
And I agreed to do this record. So I finished everything. And then like I found out. And so I felt like betrayed on all different levels and every angle. Like the fact that like I just, more the fact that I just spent 2 months in the studio with her and I got, and she had literally pumped one in me and knew it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's like not, it's worse than being cheated on. Right. 1,000 times worse.
Right.
You know? And then I'm still like trying to get the money back. Like, cause it's such a weird amount that lawyers don't want to take the case cause it's not enough.
Yeah.
And then the ones that are lower don't know enough to pull it off.
What about small claims court?
Huh?
Small claims court. Isn't that what you do?
I have to go to Dallas, Texas though.
Oh, cause that's where
that's the stumbling block in all of this. I'd have to literally go to Dallas and file it there.
Right.
But yeah, so there's that, you know what I mean? So things like that happen. Yeah. Oh, they do.
Yeah.
But to get back to, I made a substantial amount of money in through that and through corn and all that stuff, but I spent it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, that's also like the concept I have about musicians is that they're the ones that blow through it the fastest. Yeah. I don't know.
It wasn't on any, I just liked things.
Yeah.
You know? It didn't seem like I had a lot, except that I had a Porsche, a BMW, a Harley, and a Tahoe at the same time.
Do you really? So when you say it didn't seem like you had a lot, are you being facetious? Like, do you really think that?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no.
Because at the time, it didn't feel like it.
Right. I mean, when you're making, you know, however much, $20,000 a month, and the car's $1,500 a month, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Now, it's ridiculous.
Were you happy with all of that?
I mean, for a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, so okay, so let's like weave in the addiction stuff. So you didn't do drugs till you were 27, is that what you said?
So through all this, I convinced my parents to send me to music school here, which they did. And I drank and stuff. I didn't get drunk. I think I was like 18 or 19 the first time I felt alcohol. Which is way late where I come from. It's like 13, 14 people are drunk.
It's late by my standards too.
Moved out here, quit school because it was my fault. I joined at the wrong, I was bored. Like I was already like, back home before I moved out here, I had like 45 students. I was 18. I'd only been playing for 3 years at that point. And I had a job at a record store, a music store, and it literally had 45 students at one point. So I joined an intermediate at Musicians Institute, which is like a taboo to say. No one admits to going there, by the way.
Is that the place that's down the street from
right
here?
Over there, yeah.
Yeah, I've passed it the other day. Yep. Okay. Because it's just a stupid school or something. Like that.
What?
Why don't people admit to going?
It
doesn't matter.
It's just one of those things. It's like, I don't even know like what to compare it to. But I quit after a couple months because it just, the kids that were in my class just couldn't play.
Okay, yeah.
I could have taught the class. And I hate to say that because I'm not saying I'm like some, you know, fucking Eddie Van Halen or whatever, but it was my fault. I should have joined at the advanced level. I was trying to, well, I thought it was going to be a lot
harder. Yeah.
And the curriculum might have been hard if I like, or whatever, challenging, but the fact that everyone else was just like, could barely tune, it was just,
right.
And I started like partying and stuff and drinking a lot, you know, and actually right across the street from where we are was my stomping ground. I lived on Sycamore, just north of Hollywood, in this place called the Sycamore Lanai. It's still there.
Oh,
the
it is?
First building after where the parking structure is.
Like
first
after building. That little Thai restaurant?
No, north of Hollywood. Like if you walk out this door, turn left, and then turn left up Sycamore. It's the first apartment building on the right hand side. And it was a studio apartment, which I lived with my friend Doug, who moved out here with me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, it was fucking small. But I used to go to this club called, what was it called? Whatever that place is across the street. I think it's called World now or some shit.
Okay.
Whatever. I would like, you know, and then I just drank and, you know, just kind of did that and got a job working at an attorney service or something, like serving people.
Okay,
documents.
Yeah.
Is that the timer?
Nope, we still got time.
Okay.
That was my.
So fast forward, you know, I did that, moved like some, like we got a house somewhere eventually and yada, yada, yada. And one day I decided, because my sister and my dad were both alcoholics and drug addicts. Mm-hmm. It was like, they're doing blow in front of me. That's why I was like kind of disgusted by the whole thing. I was very anti all of that. Never smoked, nothing, just drink.
So as you were growing up, your dad and your sister would be doing blow?
Oh, yeah.
Not your mom though?
No.
Yeah.
When my mom like went out of town, it was all hell broke loose.
Right, right.
You know, because my sister would totally manipulate my dad and like, you know, whatever. And so one day I decided, you know what? I'm not gonna turn out like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take drugs, I guess. So, and this is looking back, probably the most alcoholic thing possibly think or say is, well, if I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do all of them at once, which is what everyone thought ecstasy was back then. Mm-hmm. They thought it was a bunch of drugs mashed together, and, which isn't the case at all, actually. So I did that, and I remember very distinctly the moment being like, that's why, you know.
They did it.
That's why. And but then I found out that there wasn't all these drugs in it, so I went and tried all of them.
So what'd you mix up?
Huh?
What were the drugs, all the drugs you did?
Oh, well, I started with that, with ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I did speed.
Mm-hmm.
And then pot.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like a few things here and there, like pills. And then I did acid and mushrooms at the same time once.
Bad idea. Bad combo.
It was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. But it was like dumb. And then heroin.
Yeah. And that was your thing, right?
Yes. That's what got me.
Yeah. Yeah, when you were shooting it.
Yeah, eventually, yeah. Well, not eventually. Like, as soon as I could get a hold of a needle.
Really?
Which, when you don't know anything about anything, is rather hard.
Right.
Especially since the dude, I remember now, he charged me $15 for a needle.
Right, which is right. Because you pay ridiculous. It. Right.
You know?
So, you were still living at this little apartment on Sycamore when that happened?
Now, at this point, I live in Bel Air.
Because you've already...
No, I haven't done anything.
Okay.
We found this house.
Okay.
It's actually on Beverly Glen,
mm-hmm.
and it was cheap. I forget how much it was. It was like $1,700, a three-bedroom, which is ridiculous for
unheard
that
of,
area.
Yeah.
I was in this house. And because what happened was my friend started taking ecstasy. He'd never done drugs either. And he was always making all these noise and stuff, and we're telling him to shut the fuck up and all this crap. But eventually I just was like, fuck. You know what? I did not turn out like them. I turned out much, much worse.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Did they get sober, though?
My dad kind of has his own trip. He's not, like, sober as far as, like, a 12-step type thing, but my dad's super weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think of, like, an eccentric musician but genius, like, I guess they call it an idiot savant. My dad couldn't write a check to save his fucking
life.
Right. But if you hand him a piece of music that he's never seen before that looks like spaghetti, he could play it better than someone who's been playing it for a year.
Right.
You know, he's like that. So he's into all this weird shit, like TM, Reiki, just all kinds of shit. Like, this is all, like, normal to me growing up. Like, now it's like, everything that's happening now, it's like
right
here.
You knew about it,
I mean, I've been doing TM since I was seven.
Oh, you did it until you were seven?
No, I was seven when I got initiated. Yeah, your mantra. Yeah. And then I got reinitiated a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Through the David Lynch Foundation.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. You're very into that. You're very involved with the David Lynch Foundation.
I mean, I've done a few events for them and stuff. But I got reinitiated and.
Different mantra. Is that what you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They actually changed my mantra that I've had since I was seven that I've never told anyone ever.
You can't ever tell anyone. I do Vedic meditation, which is. Oh, yeah. You know, he does that too. Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah.
Because it was like a scandal. With
my
Vedic.
Parents almost got divorced over this goddamn table. That my dad had to have so he could look at it. It was a Vedic. It had these symbols.
Oh, yeah.
And it was $5,000. And my mom was like having a fit. He bought it anyway.
Yeah.
And now it's like in a closet somewhere.
Yeah.
But he does all that stuff.
Yeah. So, okay. And so you start, so tell me about you snort heroin or you smoke heroin and then you're like, I need a needle and some guy sells it to you for $15.
Yeah. So I did that.
Is it weird to talk about
I mean, not so much.
We don't need to get too into
it's not that it's weird, it's just that I can clearly, it's weird how the mind and the body is wired, because it's extremely hard to remember the pain, but it's very easy to remember the high.
I have the exact opposite.
Really?
Yes.
You just remember the bad parts?
Yes.
Well, as of lately, in the last 4 years, it's been more like when I see someone speaking or talking about it, I kind of like cringe.
Right.
And like I go right to the like I'm sick part, I'm going to die and I'm going to kill myself part.
Yeah.
Which is different. Before, I would see like a homeless dude on the ground and be like, oh,
it still looks good.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy.
Well, you're lucky in that respect then.
It is the luckiest part of my sobriety is that my brain immediately goes to suicidal. It goes to birds chirping. It goes to wanting to die.
Birds chirping? What is birds chirping?
Oh, you were, that's when you do coke. You're doing it and you're like, I think I'm having fun. And then the birds are chirping and everyone's going to work.
Oh,
and
it's the next day?
I want to kill myself. Yeah.
That happens to me now.
It does?
Yeah.
Well, when you're staying up all night. Oh, so that's why you got no sleep last night, because you were making this vibrator app.
No, I finished that way early. I just couldn't sleep because I didn't feel good yesterday. And then what's weird, I have this, like, I'm pretty sure I have arthritis.
Mm-hmm. From guitar, you think?
I don't know what it's from, but it could just be, you know, my dad has it. It could just be, like, hereditary or whatever.
Right.
But once in a while, my hands hurt so bad, and it's so depressing to me. Like,
yeah.
It's weird because, like, once, like, midnight hits, they start to, like, not hurt anymore. And that's when, like, I start to, like, I'm a night person anyway.
That's so weird about your hands.
I think it's just maybe they just warm up. It takes that many hours. And I've tried all kinds of tricks. I went to a specialist because I thought I had carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
And he knew immediately that I didn't. So
wow.
The only other thing is arthritis. And I'm scared to, like, go have the blood test done.
Cause, yeah, because you don't want to find out.
It's not going to change the fact that that's how, like, I think, though. Like, that's, like,
I so relate. And it's, I don't know if this is, you know, because I have, you know, weird, like, disc issues and stuff like that. And then I'm on the computer
with
all the disc issues.
Oh. What'd
you think? I said dick issues?
No, I just didn't hear what you said. I'm really deaf, by the way, especially in my right ear.
Oh, really?
Dick issues. Why do you have dick issues?
I have, feel sorry for me.
Well, then you're the prime customer.
And the word I was going to say.
Tragic.
I have.
This is actually, I modeled this after myself.
That's so,
so I'm
sad.
The one with the issues.
Okay, he's showing this like quarter inch long vibrator thing as a phallic.
This was
symbol.
In some sort of like a ring that I guess you could put on, and then it had a little button you could like just zap yourself, I guess, whatever. But I think it's more fun to like be able to like.
You don't look. You don't know who's listening who might want to buy this.
Right.
Email me. And
I mean,
we'll
I'm sure this exists. I just had.
Well, I will tell you, I did a story for Playboy once on all the vibrators on the market. And this was actually 10 years ago. And well, no, what they had like USB things.
Yeah.
And that's totally not. They didn't even have apps then. So yeah. I'm telling you, I support
if
this.
If I search the App Store and find vibrator controller
and
it isn't there, then I might be in luck.
You guys, you're hearing it here first. Like, what if this is your thing? And you're like,
so
I was a musician once. Now I'm a multi-fucking billionaire.
Like, see, the good thing about being a guitar player is you can get away with anything and no one gives a shit.
What do you mean?
17 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Meaning, like, I'm no news. Like, if I got caught blowing a tranny on Santa Monica smoking crack, and they're like, what does he do for, like, oh, he's a guitar. Oh, those fucking crazy musicians. But if, like, some actor or anyone else it happens to, it's a big deal.
So true.
I can get away with fucking murder, basically.
Okay, that's
right?
Our time. And I'll explain.
Right next to you.
What do you mean?
It says how close, how far.
You are.
Close.
You are. Okay, wait, Rob, hold the mic up. The journey we have traveled since we recorded yesterday, I feel a lot closer to you.
You do?
Do you? You're holding your backpack in such a way that if I was a body language expert, I'd say you were scared of me.
No.
And you're not, but I'm not a body language expert. But basically,
yeah, you are.
I'm
aren't
not.
You?
No, I mean, I guess we could say I am.
But didn't you work for Playboy and like examine bodies?
I wrote two stories for Playboy, but that does not mean I.
That's not true. I saw you on TV.
Oh shit! You saw that show?
I guess.
You Swing.
What is that? What it was called?
I hosted a show on Playboy because I got offered a great deal of money to do it. And it was a show about swingers.
Okay.
Where I was like the Chris Harrison.
I don't know who Chris Harrison
is. I've never seen it, but he's the host of The Bachelor.
Oh.
And so he goes and he introduces the people. And I would introduce, like, a couple would come and I'd be like, hi, this is who you're going to fuck.
And then you went and watched?
No, I never did. I never had to be involved in like the whatever. And swinging's great. I'm happy for them, but it just wasn't my thing. And they completely replaced me as a host. But anyway, I never
could they
saw
tell
it.
You weren't into it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think they got a porn star to do it the next year.
That's what
year.
It was called, Swing?
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, that does not make me a body language expert.
Closer than me.
Do you think?
Or maybe not. I don't know.
I think you've examined a number of bodies in your time.
Not as many as you'd think, actually.
Really?
No.
I'm wondering if we should
see how different I am after I slept.
Oh,
I'm much more like crazy when.
So yesterday
you don't want my marbles back.
Really?
You want them off.
Wait, hold on. So have you slept? You slept last night or the night before?
I slept the night before, but I only got like 3 hours, which in my opinion is worse than not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
Because for some reason it shifts at a certain point. And you just wake back up. You know, you hit a wall and then you climb over the wall.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of deal with it. But if you sleep for 3 hours and get up, it just drags.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I was crazy. And then I couldn't fall asleep. I was like scared to fall asleep.
Right. What
you ever
mean?
Have that feeling?
Yeah. Well, I have major sleep issues.
Yeah. I used to. I'm always scared I'm just never going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Ever. That's,
I was just talking to somebody. I was a big
Ambien trying somebody?
Addict. What?
You were trying somebody to fall asleep? What exactly does that entail?
I told you I'm really tired. I was talking to somebody an hour ago about how our biggest fear, the sleeping issue is just fear of not falling asleep. Yeah. That's what it is. It's not insomnia.
That's why I sleep on the couch.
Oh, well, I get that.
There's a multitude of reasons.
Because there's no pressure.
There's no pressure, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what I always tell people.
Yeah. No, my favorite feeling is watching TV and falling asleep. It's like better than being on drugs.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was in college and we were always, you know, sort of staying up all night, drinking and all that, people would say, well, if you sleep in increments of three, that's the best. 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours. No, it's not true.
I think 4 hours is the actual number.
I think sleeping but 4 hours
know.
Is horrible.
I think you're supposed to sleep until you wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if it's six and you fall asleep and the buzzer goes off. Because you have to move your fucking car because it's street cleaning, sweeping, whatever the fuck. You know, it says sweeping here, but it says cleaning by my house.
That's when you said yesterday, oh, it's street sweeping. I was like, I was like, he's
that's
got
what it
a
says
learning
on the sign.
Disability. Like
it says
that's
sweeping.
Who would say sweeping.
Where'd you go to college? I'm going to interview you now.
Okay, yeah. I told you an hour from Natick, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right.
Trinity College.
You did not tell me that.
No,
you said you had friends that went.
Do you want to know
you
what?
You didn't say that you went there.
Do you want to know what? It was recorded because it was on the podcast. So, and okay, I don't know. You could very well be right, but one of us is wrong.
I don't
one
forget
of us is
anything.
Right. And there's
by the way.
Oh, really?
No. So, Trinity College. What town is it in?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, that's right, Hartford, Connecticut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I might not have said the name.
No, you didn't.
But wait a second. I was going to say something.
Is that a communication college?
No, it was a liberal arts college, which is to say you couldn't major in anything.
I went to
that would be useful.
A high school that was like, I call it a hippie. It's like a hippie school.
What high school?
It was called Sudbury Valley School.
Oh, yeah. I feel like people from Trinity went there, maybe.
It's very small.
Uh-huh.
And there's only like 100 people in the entire school from, I guess, first grade or something to.
So it was 12. Like 10 people a class? A
what
year?
Class?
What do you mean? You were all there together?
It was a school where you didn't have to do anything unless you wanted to.
That's great.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that went from there to like MIT and
right.
Harvard and
I could
shit.
See that because you're just
and there's a lot of people that were just smoke cigarettes all day.
So, okay, but so where yesterday.
You want to know the answer of why I have the bag on me?
Yes.
Because I feel bloated.
Really?
Yeah. Because the pants were newly washed. You know how when you just wash them and you put them on and you feel like you've gained 25 pounds?
Yeah.
Female,
I feel like that every
day. It's nothing to do with my fear of you.
Okay. Look, I'm going to let you have that
story.
Okay.
I mean, I'd use pillows, but the bag's already there.
Yeah, there's some bright pink, very ugly pillows that you could be using.
That's magenta.
Magenta or fuchsia.
I would say that's more magenta. Fuchsia's more lighter, like flashier.
Because
I had fuchsia streaks in my hair.
Oh, you did? Can we talk? That's not fuchsia. Okay. Can we talk about how, okay, so basically what happened that we sort of talked about yesterday, I dropped the recorder, it wasn't charged, there was street sweeping, you had to move your car, you had an interview thing, you saved the day, you took my recorder apart, put it back together, gave me a new plug, and came back, which makes you, you know.
Why do people not come back?
What do you mean? This has never happened before.
What do you mean?
Like, that you had to come 2 days in a row. You know, usually...
Well, I know it's never happened before that I've had to come 2 days
No, but I mean, usually I don't drop the recorder.
Oh, I see.
It's charged. We just
do
sit down
nervous?
And we do it. I dropped the recorder the day before you came. Maybe I was nervous a day before. You know what? I'm going to be honest. You used to.
Why?
Well, we met-ish, right?
Yeah.
I was new to AA recovery. Well,
why did I make you nervous?
Because you're, you know, you're hard to read.
Yeah.
And I would say like a little bit, you know, a tiny bit like standoffish to somebody you don't know.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And I remember what
really what it is.
Fear.
I'm just really shy.
Okay, I believe you.
A lot of people take that as arrogance for some reason.
I totally believe you.
And that's been all my life.
Yeah.
I'm better now than it used to be because it always used to be like, oh, your friend's an asshole.
Right.
Like, they never talk to the person ever.
Right.
Or I'm an asshole. How's that? How do they know that?
Right.
And they'd say the same thing. Oh, you just don't know them and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, eventually I gave up trying to like fix that because
right.
it's just, I guess I just have a look on my face that's just like, fuck you or something. I don't know.
I think what it is it's also, you know, combined with that you were like this famous musician
dude.
Okay.
When I first met you, I wasn't doing, I don't even, what year was that?
2000.
Okay, yeah. I wasn't doing jack shit.
You had already been like
the corn.
Yes, it had.
No.
I remember.
I don't.
I'll tell you exactly what you just described happened. I will not forget this. I was like, oh, that guy's a dick. And then, full disclosure here.
Here I am.
And I know. And I
really takes less time, by the way.
Not 15 years, you mean?
Yeah.
No. And so then I remember being at this club that we all used to go to on Santa Monica, right next to the Troubadour.
Okay.
Like one of Brent Boldhouse's yep. things. And I remember there was this staircase.
I was walking down the staircase and I saw Shayna Mokler throw a drink on Paris Hilton.
You did?
It was amazing.
At that.
Then I saw it happen again.
Wait, I think I remember this.
That was at Hyde. Different club, but
yeah,
same thing.
Same idea. So anyway, what I was saying is.
You're on the staircase.
I was talking to Paul H.
Okay.
And you came up, you were friends with him, I don't know. You came up, you said something to him, you walked away, and I go, that guy's a dick. And he goes, you know what? You don't give. He said something like that. He's like, he's cool. You don't understand that, like, kind of like not everything has to do with like you or he said something like that where I was like, oh, maybe he's not. So and so then, you know, we never talked, you and I, or whatever. And then but I mean I just would see you around and then we were Facebook friends, and then
so then you dropped your fucking
in
order.
Anticipation of spending time with you. No,
what
I think,
if I came in, I was just a total dick, pompous asshole.
You absolutely could have been.
I know, I can turn into that.
Yeah,
not really. It's too late now.
It's too late now. You've taken
the
gushy reporter apart.
Side.
But
the
I
fact
feel
that I told you that I feel bloated. I'm holding a Louis Vuitton bag on my lap to cover that up
because
I can't really be arrogant and
right,
an asshole now.
Right. This is the full disclosure room where, you know, people can't help but be honest here.
I
respect that. I mean, what's the point? Well, you know, we're sort of at a point in life where why not just be honest? Okay, let me stop rambling and get back to you. So, yesterday what we were talking about was, I remember you're living at the apartment near here. You're, you know, at life, you know, it's life is going off the rails. You're shooting heroin. You buy a needle for $15.
That's how I started. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how many years were you doing heroin?
Okay. So I think I was 25 and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started taking drugs, period. And I went to my first meeting, I was 26 and a half.
So you only did drugs for a year.
Yeah. 1 year of, if you want to call it, guiltless.
Right.
I really was, though.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Even if I had consequences, I didn't feel as bad about them as I did later on.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fucked up.
Why?
That's a program, society, like, I don't know what the word is, like stigma. Like if you relapse, you should feel really guilty about it. When actually in literature, it says the opposite of that.
Well, that it's a part of the disease.
Yes. It says don't, you know, don't feel bad about it and move on.
Yeah, it's
but
a,
people
yeah.
I don't it's, and I'm not going to I'm not the person who ever says well in LA cuz there's no such thing as like people like say stuff about LA
yeah,
like LA's like so clicky and there're always these people from New York and I'm like motherfucker New York is the clickiest
the worst
city
place.
On the planet.
Yeah.
And it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
That being said, people wear their time like a badge of honor.
Do you think? You're,
absolutely.
You're saying in
everywhere.
Recovery everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Hmm.
And you can especially tell when they lose it after 18 years and
mm-hmm.
then they wind up dying,
mm-hmm.
which is sad. But
that's
if they
not
had,
why.
If they didn't know, well, they have a hard time. Their ego refuses to acknowledge that. Listen,
time doesn't
if it
matter.
Was the opposite, like if people said, you know, it's totally fine if you relapse. And you relapse, you wouldn't feel so bad about it. But they feel so guilty and their ego refuses to just, you know, raise a white flag and come back because they're scared of what people are going to think and say about them.
Okay, but here's what I think. Like, I have a, I've had sponsees who go out and they go, I can't go back. I'm too, you know, God, it's just too embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. And what I've said is I've never once heard someone go, oh God, that person, they relapsed again, except about one guy who Louis? Literally has been relapsing like, no. Well, maybe, okay.
Mark?
Okay.
Just keep naming. I'm not going to say last names.
Okay, there are two people that I do know who you're referring to, but like in general, I yeah. have never, ever heard people say that. They're just sort of like, welcome back. That's awesome. How long are you back?
Huh.
I think a lot of it is in the head of the person and their ego.
But that still doesn't make my point wrong. It's it the doesn't. Same thing.
It doesn't.
It's because their perception of coming back is judgment.
Yeah.
Which is what you do to get do drugs to escape that sort of you right. want when you when I used to do drugs it was well because it felt good but also it just makes you not give a fuck.
I know.
You know what I mean? And to be the op to be exposed raw, especially if you're like detoxing, come right. back and you're like it, you're way more sensitive.
Right.
You know, and even if it's a lie, it doesn't matter.
Right.
If a lie keeps you from coming back, right. it keeps you from coming back. That's right. the reality of it. You know.
Right.
And where were we going? Where was this?
So you had a year, and I just am neurotic. So
I had a year of partying.
Yeah. And then what made you go? You didn't go to treatment, did you?
No. A friend of mine was like, oh, we need this guitar player for this band, and we want you to do it. But the singer, if you want to call him that, is sober, and he thinks you do too much ecstasy, so he wants you to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was like, blood was dripping off my arms. So it's mm-hmm. like way past the whole
right, ecstasy whatever.
And so he's like, you know, the guy was like, oh, meet me at this meeting. Like, I'll go. I don't care. Because my dad went to treatment and like went right. to meetings and stuff. And I went to, what was that one?
Chinatown.
Not Alateen. Was it Alateen?
Yeah, Alateen.
That's not.
It's Al-Anon for.
Exactly.
Kids. Yeah.
And I got really pissed off once about that. Because I remember when I was a kid, well, because my dad, they sent me these fucking things. And there was a girl who had her own problems and they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to hear it. They're like, basically like, fuck you. This isn't the right place to talk about your own.
I could see them doing that.
Of course.
Yeah.
And that pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I never went back.
Yeah.
So
you knew about meetings.
Yes. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Oh, and I had a girlfriend in 1992 that was sober and I went to some meetings with her. Mm-hmm. And I went to some Al-Anon meetings because of her as well later on. Mm-hmm. In the early 90s. And so he's like, yeah, meet me, and here's the address. I pull up to fucking house, and it's like 40 dudes in a backyard in a circle, and I got in my car and drove away.
Right. Right.
I did not go in.
Right.
And then I went to this meeting, a late night meeting, mm-hmm. and that was fine. So I just kind of like, I got sober, and then I remember it was 84 days. I was working in a club. And one day I just decided, fuck this. And I drank. Mm-hmm. And I remember having like one drink and I went home puking. Mm-hmm. Like with one gigantic drink, but it was one drink.
Right.
And then it was my birthday, uh-huh. like very shortly after that. Uh-huh. And well, I'm like, well, fuck, I'm not going to, you know, that whole dance. Then my house burnt down.
How did that happen?
With me in it.
How did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you when we shut the mics off.
Okay.
But they never figured it out.
Wow.
And luckily, I'd gotten sober like a week before that. It was November 19th, 1997.
What? That's my sober date.
Is it?
November 19th, 2000.
That's my sister's birthday.
Okay.
So I remember calling my parents and like, oh, Maritza, happy birthday. Could put mom on the phone. And I told her. And my dad didn't believe it.
Yeah.
He actually didn't believe my house burnt down.
So, okay, that's crazy. So you wake up, there's flames.
4 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
My roommate kicks down my door. Ah. There's fucking fire. And I was like, what? Because we had this house that was on Pacific View Drive. I don't know if you know what that is. It's on mm-mm. top of Mulholland near Outpost. It was mm-hmm. a two-story old, like, I don't know what you'd call it, but it was like kind of gothic, really old, had a spiral staircase. Mm-hmm. My bedroom was on one side and my room was on the other side. And there was smoke coming up the staircase. Mm. And there was a balcony between our rooms out facing the front of the house. And he went out there and just basically jumped off the balcony and ate shit. But the house is burning.
Right.
Like you can tell. So I'm like, oh, fuck. And there's a guy across the street, like a neighbor, like, wait for the fire department. I'm like, actually, he said, oh, fuck that, I'm not burning to death. And he jumped, and then he, like, bit it. And so I went over the railing and tried to, like, lower myself down with, like, the cable wire, mm-hmm. like, the cable TV.
Okay.
And it was just stapled.
Oh, my God.
And I fell. I didn't get hurt. But I had a friend, another roommate, who was a good friend of mine, that lived downstairs. And I ran around to the back of the house where his room was, and I threw a log in it, and just fire shut out. So I'm like, he's dead. So at that point, all of like the material issues of the house. And
he did.
In it,
he was dead.
Hold
he
on, just, I'll get okay. to that. It's an interesting twist. I was just like shocked, like in shock. I couldn't move. I'm just like, and then somebody, I don't know who said, like somebody showed up or something. It was like, I think Mike might be at this guy's house. Like blah, blah, blah. So I call. Is Mike there? Yeah, hold on. And I'm like, oh, he was shooting heroin at somebody's house.
First time heroin saved someone's life.
Well, I don't know about the first time, but
well,
but yes, it did. And as soon as I got off the phone, I'm like, I had a recording studio. This fire started on the left side of the house, and it's obviously spread to the right. And my studio was in the bottom right. And I went, oh, my fucking stuff. So I ran. It wasn't near that part yet, but I just started throwing all my gear out the side door. The fire department managed to ruin that. But
okay, so
that was that.
You've had a crazy life. I'm not saying that because of the fire. I'm saying that because of everything.
Yeah, it was weird.
So you have your 84 days. You drink. It's your birthday. Your hair. Your
my birthday is November 9th. So I got sober like on the 11th or 12th again, and mm-hmm. I wasn't completely strung out. So I was kind of okay. Luckily, because I don't know what would happen if I was all fucked up.
And yeah.
My roommate couldn't wake me up. He literally broke the door down.
Yeah.
Which is kind of amazing. We had two German shepherds that's who saved our lives.
Oh, they did? Okay,
yeah, because they were barking. He woke up to shut them up.
Right.
And they would not stop.
Wow.
And then he realized there was smoke coming up. Basically, somebody burnt my house.
Oh, my God. Okay. And so.
In my opinion.
You are. How long were you sober then? I mean, how long did you stay sober after that?
I don't remember. Okay. It just became like a in and out thing for like a few months and then back and then a few months. I don't even remember the first time I got past like 6 months. I just remember, I don't know, my first year. Christ. But it was like that. And then the times got further and further apart.
Right.
Like I realized countless amount of times, countless, you know, I got a year and then a year and a half relapsed, 2 years relapsed, you know, a year relapsed. And then it got more difficult actually. And then I started relapsing more often. And then I just went on this medication called Subutex.
Mm-hmm. Is that like Suboxone?
It's exactly the same thing. And I was on that for like a year and a half, and I was still sort of, that was a nightmare.
It was?
Oh, you're only supposed to take it really for 5 days.
And you know that people will stay on it for life, right?
Oh yeah, I know a few people that are on it.
Right. Right.
You know, God bless them. If that stops them and they can function and they're happy, great.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I just felt it just was like an anchor.
Right. Did you feel high?
No. No. And it prevents you from getting high as well.
I know. But it's an opiate too.
Yeah. But it's not enough to do anything. It just makes you not be sick.
Yeah.
And I've taken it at the wrong time too and had the worst, like, if you take it before if you're high and you take it, you will go into violent mm-hmm. like if somebody like shot you up with Narcan, like
right.
You know that is.
Yeah. Well, that's like
it happened to me on accident once, and I was on my way to a gig. I was DJing and I was at the airport in Burbank, and it just hit, and I was like, I need to cancel. And the guy who was taking me was like, you can't cancel. And I'm like, I should have fucking canceled. I still did it somehow. I don't know how.
Right. Yeah.
It's awful. Anyway, so I stopped doing that. And then like, I just one day I was just like, this final time, because it's just like kind of like a broken record.
Yeah.
You know?
What would happen? Would you be sober and into it, and then the thought would occur to you, or somebody would be like shooting up around you,
nope.
Or how would that happen?
No shooting up around. I could be walking down the street one moment, fine, the next moment, fuck it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And once that switch went off, I didn't know that you could turn the switch back off without actually getting high for a long time.
Wow.
And then, so that just kept happening. And then a couple of times where like some traumatic things happened in my life and I just didn't want to be here anymore. That sort of a thing.
Like you were just like, I don't care what happens to me.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Not necessarily I don't care. I never had that thought. Like I'm not like one of those, what you call a hope to die junkie. Mm-hmm. I was more like, I just don't want to be me.
Yeah.
I just want to watch from somewhere else and feel cushy and good.
Did you ever OD?
Yes. Not where like I had to be resuscitated or anything, but I remember one very clearly one time I was on tour. This was actually the last run. I was on tour and we came through LA and I had been trying to cop on the road. It was awful. I've never done that. I've never been like drunk or high on tour ever. But this last time. And so I went and got, you know, I'd gotten some from some other cities and I got from my guy and it was way stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Way stronger. So I went, he lived, I don't know fucking where he lived, on Pico and something. And I had this routine where I'd go see him and go to the Starbucks, which is like on, what's that one road? Like not Normandy, but Crenshaw and mm-hmm. Olympic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Starbucks and like a Foot Locker or something right there. And I'd go there and shoot up and get coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing that. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm playing that night here in LA mm-hmm. at the Key Club.
Is this with Korn or?
This is Filter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wow. The last tour I was on. So I'm playing at the Key Club. My sound check's at 2 p.m. It's 11 a.m. I got plenty of time.
Right.
So I remember sitting in the car, doing it, whatever, and I shot up and I literally said out loud to myself, oh my God. Like, I can't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem bad right now, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll cut to, right after I said that, I opened my eyes and my neck is stuck down.
Okay.
And I'm like leaned over in the car and it's now 3:30 or some shit, p.m. Like that is an OD. I didn't die, but I OD'd.
Hours passed and you were?
From 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
And you were by yourself.
Sound check was 2.
Wow.
I missed.
Yeah.
So I go, oh shit. So I'm like, well, I've already fucking missed it. So I went and got some coffee and I couldn't hear anything either. It was like, woo, really loud ringing in my ears.
Oh my God.
And by the time I got to the Heat Club, the ringing had stopped. Mm-hmm. I felt fine and they were late.
And so did you tell them?
Fuck no.
You couldn't because they thought you were sober or whatever.
No, hell no.
Wow.
So I went and got more
mm-hmm.
and brought it on the road. And then I got home and then we did this fly gig and I couldn't get, and I was just like kicking on the plane and I like passed out all green on my singer and they figured it out.
Yeah.
And they were like confronting me and I was being like, you know how junkies, they'll over-explain shit
mm-hmm.
to make it sound like, you know what I mean?
Or like, any
way
addict.
Over-explain.
Yeah. You mean lies finally, or? Oh,
yeah. Or yeah, exactly. Just like, whatever. And then finally I was sitting there and I realized how ridiculous I sounded and I just checked myself into rehab.
Mm-hmm. But was that your first time in rehab?
No, this is number 3 now. The last mm-hmm. time was number 3.
Right. Is that Los Encinos? Is that the one that you were talking about?
That was number 2.
Now question to go back. So it was when you were auditioning for Korn that the lead singer said, let's go to a meeting, or that was a different band?
No. This was way before that.
Okay.
That was Korn happened in 2005. We're talking 1997.
Okay.
Just some stupid band that never did anything.
Okay.
Really. But, yeah.
And then, and so I forgot to ask you before we started recording, so we can take this out if it's not cool with you. But I remember during the like whole Charlie Sheen
uh-huh.
thing that you were kind of a part of that.
Yeah.
But I didn't understand what was happening with any of that. Are you cool with talking
understood.
About that?
Yeah, it's fine.
So all I remember is, you know, so he was like going and giving the interviews to everybody and you were, oh, and he had like a weird like reality show online and you were in it, right?
Well, Charlie and I have been friends for years and first thing, I've never seen him, well, I have now, but at that point in my life, I'd never actually seen him use drugs in front of me.
Really?
Ever. Yeah. Never. And I lived at his house after my last relationship. He's offered.
Yeah.
He's like, if you ever, because I was kind of talking about how I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
He's like, well, come stay with me. And I did.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw anything. There was never any craziness. Nothing. It's nothing like what you'd think. It's like
right.
a family environment.
Right.
Like, he was going to go on tour and he's like, you're the musical director.
Oh, that's right.
And so like, I wrote this whole intro thing for his thing. And I sat on stage and like just made noises with my guitar. I was the most paid I've ever been ever as a musician was that tour. I made more money in that 1 month than I had. I'm not together,
right.
but way more.
Right. And so it was like a tour and you guys televised it. And I can't remember, but people.
I don't know if it was televised, but
I saw it. I knew you were in it because I saw it.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was interesting. It was fun.
Yeah.
And no, there was no like weird shenanigans.
Were you sober then?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Because that was that like 3 years ago or something? No.
It was 2000. I relapsed after that tour.
Okay.
That's when I did the last. That was the last run that I had. So that was it was 2011 that happened.
Okay.
And early in 2011, I think. And then, because my sobriety date is September 17th, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that stuff happened within that 1 year.
Right.
But I remember I right before the end of the tour, I had like 11 months or something. And then I relapsed.
Mm-hmm.
I've relapsed so many times, I can't even, if the thought process of, it's simply just fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time. Boredom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I did it once, and I, you know, mine was very specific, but what I was going to say about time is that it just, I'm embarrassed by how little of a difference time makes in terms of sobriety and in terms of recovery.
Doesn't make any difference.
Like, I'm
the work is what makes difference.
But I'm, you know, I work at it, and I cannot believe how fucked up I still am.
If this was alcohol and I handed this to you, no matter how much time you have, if you drink it, you're done.
Yeah, I know.
It's as simple as that.
It's a really weird thing.
There's nothing magical about relapsing.
I don't feel, I was just at a meditation retreat like a month ago, and the teacher said something that I thought was really interesting, which is, and since you're a meditator, you'll get this, is that, you know, people will beat themselves up for going off the mantra or not being able to stay focused, and that the truth is that's the moment they're waking up. You know what I mean? That realization, like, oh my God, I haven't been doing it. That's the moment of enlightenment, because you get to go back, which I thought was kind of great. Mm. Anyway, you could say the same thing about relapse.
Yeah. Exactly. It's almost like, I remember that one specific time where I had some time, and then I woke up and I tried to convince myself I dreamt it. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually tried to convince myself that.
Right.
Yeah. And I was just going to, and I was like, oh, come on. It's not going to work.
Haven't you had a lot of those dreams? Relapse dreams?
No.
Really?
Not really.
You just do it. No.
Yeah. No, but I tried to convince myself, and then, it's really weird how after you've relapsed, like the next day, how very clear. I mean, it's just weird. It's almost like sobriety is very easy to take for granted, I think. Very easy.
Because
when it ends, you're like, what the fuck? What have I done? But honestly, though, if you just were like, oh, fuck, I'm not doing that again, and then just picked up and moved on, it would be the same thing, except maybe the physical whatever, right?
What do you mean?
It doesn't mean you didn't lose the experience or the knowledge before. You just made a mistake.
So do you think the counting days thing is counterproductive?
I mean, it's hard because that's what gives people goals in the beginning.
Right.
Maybe there's after a year they should stop.
That's not just say over a year. Interesting idea.
And that's it.
It is an interesting idea because
like communism in AA. Everyone's equal after a year.
Well, because that idea of, well, fuck it, is, you know, if that's the thing that leads to relapse, that's, you know, because I know with me, when I went out for one night and I went out to have a drink. And then when I had finished the bottle of wine and someone had ecstasy, I took 4.5 hits because I was like, I already screwed up.
Yeah.
I better take advantage of this.
But it's only for one day.
Yeah.
See, that doesn't work for me.
I was really lucky.
Yeah, that is lucky.
I've
done that maybe once, and it was with drinking. It wasn't with opiates, because if I get I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I could, it's just like, but this last time, it was so fucking old. It was just so boring at this point.
Yeah.
And I just was like, you know, I went in just to detox, and they're like, you know, you're staying. So I wound up staying for a month at the Hills.
Oh, okay.
Unruly place to fucking get sober ever.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, well, what I tell everyone when they say, they start talking shit about Howard or the Hills, I'm sober. It worked for me because I wanted to be sober.
Everyone
Howard
I know.
Howard has been nothing but great to me.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I cannot tell you the number of people I know personally who, when they relapse, have been through. I have a friend in the Hills right now. You know, that is the place to go. And I'm a big fan of Howard.
Yeah.
So
And I mean, but it's just like, if you go by the patients, like as some sort of direction, that's the wrong way to go. What you can't help it though. You kind of like are surrounded by, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of, you know, sickness. It's like trying to learn from the fucking, the mental ward.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But you're exposed to it. But you know, I'm so used to that whole thing. And I mean, I've been to detoxes and two rehabs, a lot of CNS promises, a bunch of cry help and all this crap. And you know, I'm so used to all of that crap. It wasn't like my first time on tour. Right. You know what I mean? Right. I know what's going to happen.
Right. Right.
And I just took advantage of it as much as I could.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't bang any of the chicks that, well, I was engaged and I never cheated.
You were engaged for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Like 4 years or something?
I think five. Just like the movie.
The 5-year engagement. Yeah. I missed it. But I mean, the title does say it all. We don't want to talk about that, huh?
I mean, I can talk about it.
But
yeah, so I didn't do any weird shit like everyone else is doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm like, sneak drugs. I'm like, why are you having drugs?
I know.
What's the point? Leave.
I know.
You know why? Because they have people on their back. Like, I didn't have that.
Right, because they're kids. A lot of those people, especially at the Hills, are kids.
The person
kids.
I'm thinking of is an adult, and he has a kid and a wife, and it's like, and a, you know, a job that is in the public eye, which, you know, it's, but I just don't know the point. I don't see the point in going to a $50,000 rehab and having drugs, you know. They don't even have to, there's no wall to throw it off. You just have someone come and hand them to you.
That's the cliche. They're throwing it over the wall. But I have a question, since you just said about that, the person like in the public eye, what do you think are the particular challenges of somebody who is in the public eye and staying sober and having all these sort of like, you know, yes men around?
Well, first of all, my opinion is, which kind of contradicts what I'm doing right now, but to keep the anonymous part is there because it's not necessarily to protect people from knowing who's sober and who's not. It's to, I feel, at least for me, it's to protect if something happens to someone who's blatantly out in the open sober.
Yeah.
It makes it look bad for AA.
See, I totally disagree with that. I understand that argument.
If they relapse.
But okay, the craziness about that is that,
you can't say that if somebody dies after they've been sober for a long time, that the regular person, not us, but somebody, a lay person, if you will, somewhere out in the Midwest that just doesn't know anything about AA, but knows he was in AA and now he's dead, they're going to say, well, obviously that whole AA thing doesn't work.
But I don't even understand that kind of thinking in that, like...
Exactly, you don't, but people don't know about it.
But AA. Somebody there, they understand that there are hundreds of thousands of people in AA that are not doing that.
Exactly. But do you think someone that's, you know, living in Cape Cod, that's, you know, living in some boondocks that just watches, you know, network TV and they don't know anything about AA, when they see that and they hear that, it's not, they don't think about, oh, there's 100,000 other people that haven't died.
I don't know. It's like if somebody from
Good thing, is what I'm saying. It's better to stay anonymous.
Okay.
Period. That's why, I mean... That's not necessarily the reason why, but I would say that's one of the reasons why.
Right, right. You know? I've heard it, and I guess I get it.
The yes men question?
Yes, yes.
Sorry, move on. I think that that's a hard one, you know, because there's people that I know that are like paid to be around people that are, you know, to be sober around people.
Like sober companions,
still
you mean?
Kind of don't do that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, they're sober.
Right.
But I'm not talking shit about being a sober companion because you know what? It's up to the person that's doing it.
Yeah, some
you know
are great.
I mean? If they feel it helps, it helps. That's the beauty of everything. I mean, there's no rules. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to pay someone $1,000 a day and it makes you stay sober for a day and you can afford it, mm-hmm. be my guest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I've been around some people that are famous
mm-hmm.
that were struggling. And, you know, the people don't want to be defriended in real life. So they'll do whatever the other person wants them to do and they'll enable them in any way they can.
Right. The sober companion person.
No, I'm just talking about their friends. Forget about the sober companion.
Right,
part.
Right,
like,
right.
I know this girl and she was famous and maybe she still is. I don't know. But she had all these friends and they would like put alcohol in water bottles and sneak drugs. And I'm like, They don't want to be defriended.
Right. Right.
Period.
Well, that's a yes.
That's
no.
the fear. If anyone says, what the fuck are you doing? You right. got to get your life together. Gone.
Right.
Or they're afraid of that.
Right, right, right.
I don't know if anyone does it because actually I've never heard of anyone standing up like to people like that. And, you know, because
you'll be they excommunicated.
Don't. They do not do that.
Yeah.
They don't want to be fired from their friendship.
Yeah.
Or their posse or whatever the fuck's going on. Maybe they're an employee or something, which makes it probably even harder.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want to say anything. But, you know, that's really tragic.
Did you see the Amy Winehouse documentary, by the way?
I did not.
It's amazing. But one of the things that I found the most moving is that her first manager basically was like, I cannot watch you do this. Stayed in her life, loved her, refused to take whatever the fortune he could have gotten from her.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that, you know? Yeah. Really, you don't.
It's hard, you know? It's hard to say, like, you know, that's why some people, like, I know some people that I was really close with, and they know that I won't put up with that.
Right.
And so they just don't want to hang out with me as much. You know what I mean? But like I said, I don't know if I've said this. I said it yesterday in the interview with E, which I don't think we can talk about that. But I was telling the guy that, you know, I'm not the fucking AA police.
Right.
Right. Period. Do whatever you fucking want.
Yeah.
If I feel like it's... I'm sure you've been around people who are like, is this okay with you? Are you
awful.
Okay?
It's awful.
Like, is it okay if I drink around you? Shut the fuck up.
Seriously.
Like, unless you jam something up me right. or put, like, I can picture, like, some model holding a platinum tray with brand new needles filled with, you know, like, if that ever happens, I'm fucking doing it. I'll tell you that right now.
But somebody but having
it's never gonna
a
fucking
beer
happen.
With dinner is not gonna,
yeah, no one's gonna pull out a fucking needle, and, right. like, ready to go at a party. With my drug. I mean, as much cocaine and all that kind of crap is much easier to come by. But I'm not the fucking AA police. I don't give a fuck. If I feel like, I tell people, like, when they say, like, is it okay with you? I go, if I feel uncomfortable, I will leave.
Yeah.
But don't feel bad about any of it.
Yeah.
You know?
What makes me feel bad is when I can tell someone's not drinking because of me.
Oh, that's the worst. Like, I'll fucking buy him a drink. I'll make him drink.
It's so annoying. You know, when I was going on like dates all the time and like you can just tell a guy is like, well, no, I'm not going to drink because you don't. Oh, please.
Don't you understand? I want you drunk because I'm going to have my way with you.
Yeah. Women don't really do that.
Oh,
but
really?
They don't.
Women don't do that.
Women don't need to get men drunk their way with them.
I'm joking because I've never thought that ever.
Yeah.
But... you're absolutely right. Women, that's the trade-off that women have. You can score anytime you want.
Yeah.
But you have to have kids. We don't have to, but you do.
There's a lot of other reasons why.
Well, I know. I'm just naming off the ones that come to the top of my head. Right.
Right. Now. Right.
Like, and I was having this argument actually, not that's off topic, but I was having this argument with this girl. She's like, bullshit, you could go and do whatever. I go, even Brad Pitt couldn't walk on the street and literally pick any girl and just have them. There would be maybe not that much, but there'd be some resistance. Now, if Giselle walked on the street and found some dude walking on the street and said, let's go, he would go, no questions asked.
You don't even have to be Giselle.
Exactly.
To have
that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
I'm just making extreme cases. Even guys cannot do that. It's not the same. It's not true. Guys can't just go and you know, somebody's saying that about me, and I'm like, well, thank you for thinking that about me, but it's absolutely fucking not true.
Have you always done well with the ladies, or did the like, you know, musician stuff? Really?
No. In fact, I was the most picked on kid, like growing up, I was the most picked on kid in my school all the way up until freshman year of high school.
Really?
Hands down. Like, girls, here's a story. I mean, I was like, I don't know even why. I just fell into that, like, you know, there's like a couple kids like they get picked on.
Yeah,
that was
me. Well, that's so hard to imagine.
Oh, imagine this.
Okay.
So I remember one time, I forget, it was like seventh grade. This is like, I guess sixth grade is when they start realizing about the opposite sex, maybe sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was way sooner, but when they start actually doing something about it. Mm-hmm. So it was this class, I don't know, was it the end of class? Yeah, it must have been at the end. This girl that... I didn't really know her. I didn't really know anybody, actually, because I didn't have any friends, because everyone picked on me. But she comes up to me. She goes, hey, do you want to go hang out later after school? And I was like, of course I'm going to say yes, because she's like one of the hotter girls in school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. And she goes, yeah, right, as if. Aww. You fucking loser. And she turned around. She had all her friends waiting. They sent her over to me.
But you've always had like a really, you're cute. You've always been cute. Were you little or something?
No. And they were all laughing. And she walked back. And there was another one. There's a punchline to that story. This is the best story ever. So this girl, her name is Kathy Hughes, and I'll say her name out loud.
If she's going
to
do that,
no relation to the other one.
Wait, Kathy Hughes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No relation to the guy we previously mentioned that you were in the staircase with. Okay, anyway, so.
Oh, okay, got it.
So I was talking to somebody, and I was telling the story. I'm like, I wonder if I can find her on Facebook, right? Find her.
Yeah.
Now, she looks like a bag of shit.
Of course, yeah.
Right? So I simply say, and I'm obviously I'm still mad about this.
Yeah.
I'm still mad. And I'm still mad, actually.
Yeah, what's
so
a horrible
I sent
thing.
Her a message. I said, hey, remember that time? And I explained it. And you did that. I go, thank you for that. And I meant it. Like, right. It was a half and half. It was half sarcasm and half like, thank you, because that did something to me that led me to where I am now.
Right.
Right. And there's other fucked
did
up
Did she
shit.
Know what you were doing now and all that?
I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me.
Living well, whatever.
Irrelevant. You know what she sent back? A fucking novel basically telling me to go fuck myself. How dare you say this? My kid is getting picked on in school. I'm thinking, what the fuck? If her kid is getting picked on in school, wouldn't you think that she would like understand and be like so apologetic? She told me to fuck off again.
Because why? Because you like...
This is 40 fucking years later.
Right. Right. Because I don't even understand the like what she was angry about. Like,
she obviously remembered exactly right. What I was talking about. And she was just like, just this whole rant about like saying her kid. I'm like, oh, well, first of all, I don't fucking care about your
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But her kid's getting picked on apparently in school, like really
Karma's
bad.
A bit.
And she was like telling, she goes, pardon me, but go fuck yourself. That was the last thing she said. And I was like, unbelievable. So, she hasn't changed. And you know what I said? And I'm usually never this mean anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Go look in the mirror and realize that mm-hmm. as ugly as you were then, nothing's fucking changed. Or something like that. Something actually was worse than that. I can't remember exactly what I said. But yeah. Yes. So no. The answer is no. I wasn't good with the ladies. While, which may explain why I married the first girl I ever had sex with.
Oh, I didn't know you were married.
I didn't know you were married. I did not want to. I've been married twice.
Wow.
Engaged 7 times.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah. 7 times. If you count the marriages too. Yeah.
And so what happens every time you're like, this is it?
Apparently.
Is it?
Yeah. I don't just do it because like it seems like the right thing to do.
Wow.
Yeah. So the first girl that like would give me any attention essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is my first ex-wife now.
And the fact that you were engaged for 5 years to this like the whatever, like considered one of the hottest, yeah. How much do you think that was like, oh, look at me now kind of, you know what I mean?
Obviously, when it's first at the beginning of a relationship, it was that just goes to that, like, if you want to look at it in the like, what is the best revenge? Success.
Right.
So if I look at it in that way, as far as girls are concerned, like back in Natick,
right.
Then of course,
right,
my stock went way up.
Right.
Yeah, which I found out after we broke up, really.
Right. What do you mean stock with other women or yeah. in general? Yeah.
My social like attractive
yeah.
stock went way up. And it's weird. I wanted to actually do like a show or just experiment where you'd have someone be in a fake relationship for a while saying they dated so-and-so and just see how the difference is between how the people treat them.
Can't Buy Me Love. That was the seminal movie of my adolescence. You never saw that, Patrick Dempsey? That's what it's about.
Is that what it's about? Does it work?
It totally works. Yeah. And then she admits that it was...
And then what? They all dump him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I had something really important to say. Well, okay. Fuck, I hate not having a brain. Social shock. Yeah. I mean, we live in a silly world. Of course that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with that situation. But, you know, it's just... I don't know. I just was... I mean, I would say until I moved to California, the answer would be no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I did better out here. I'm just so fucking shy. I literally have to be hit over the head with a bat.
Wow.
I mean, I'm much older now and I can tell right away, mm-hmm. I have, you know, but I used to feel not worthy or deserving enough.
Right.
I was just, that's how I, it was like embedded in
me. Right, right.
So I would never even like try, because I hear people saying, oh, it's out of my, there's no such thing as out of anyone's league.
Right.
Because if you just want to, you're just saying that because you're afraid to try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And if you look around at the couples and you go, well, wait, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. Well, that's because it doesn't have to do with leagues, and it has to do with personal connection, and it has to do with, you know, all of these
it
things.
It helps you have a big schlong, too.
Does
which
it?
I don't know anything about. But.
I mean, I who knows? Who knows? I can't speak for womankind.
You can't speak for who?
Womankind. Womankind. I can only speak for myself. You like a guy?
Does it matter?
None of it matters.
Oh, bull, motherfucking!
Oh,
shit.
I'm telling you.
I call bullshit.
I'm telling
some
you.
Guy.
Well, no,
you're
no,
really
no.
Into
we're,
him. And
micro, we're talking something different. That most women have encountered, and that has been problematic.
They have. I thought you didn't speak for all womankind. Now you're speaking for them. you're a hypocrite. Make up your mind.
You have
encountered micro penis.
I have. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean.
But
it does. You know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. Wait, but okay.
You know what it is? You know what really helped? And let's just be honest that I fucking play guitar.
I know. Yeah.
And I didn't do it for that though. That's what's, I guess the greatest part about that is that I did not do it for girls at all. Zero.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it for money either. I did it because I wanted to be the best guitar player I could be. Period.
Right. Right.
You know, practiced for fucking 8 hours a day and drove my dad, who's a musician, crazy.
Yeah.
So I had a metronome taped to my guitar strap going tick, tick, tick all day running scales and whatnot. But yeah, you know, there's like, you know, I always talk with my friends about like this, how there's like the, it's definitely in LA and I'm sure it's everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, there's like the billionaire rich guys
mm-hmm.
that aren't necessarily the most attractive people, but I'm not saying like some butt ugly dude.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's musicians, broke musicians, and we're at the same
right
level.
Right, right.
Isn't that
right.
weird?
Why
is that?
I'll tell you something. I am not a good person to ask. Neither have ever done it for me. For me, it's writers and actors. It's just fucking, that's an unfortunate thing. But I don't have that. I don't, oh, too bad I don't have the billionaire thing, first of all. I would have been set many times. But no.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
Right?
I do. Yeah.
It doesn't. It like you can be the rich guy and have that in your corner as your an asset per se. I don't need that. Any of that.
Right.
Let's just be having. I'll tell you a perfect example. My ex-fiance Carmen,
mm-hmm.
after we broke up, mm-hmm. went out with Simon Cowell.
Right.
And when I found out, first of all, I had suspected something happened previous while we were still together.
Mm-hmm.
But it was literally like a second after we broke up, mm-hmm. right? And I was like, I had a fucking Google alert, which I shut
for
off.
For her never, name?
I don't remember if it was my name
right.
or her name, but whatever. And I was like, and I went to
some weird noise. Okay.
Hiking. And I had this weird feeling like I was going to get some sort of a mess. I don't know why, but I didn't bring my phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back, got back to my car, and it was like these Google alerts. And it was like pictures of her with him at like Cipriani's, what's the name of that place on fucking Robertson and Melrose? Anyway, Ciccone's?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Ciccone's.
Whatever that place is called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just like, I'm like, okay. I felt like that feeling like I got kicked in the gut for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I went, that's so fucking tacky. That it was that, like, that she went and, like, obviously was not, like, hiding, like, posed. Like,
right,
like,
right.
A, tacky.
Yeah.
And B, because I was done, but when I left, I was like, I was already done.
Yeah.
Like, so, and I said to myself, of course. And then I said, you know what? He's got all this money, and because he needs it.
Right. Right.
You know? And that, to this day, will work for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, because I was like, because when you're like not rich and struggling and like you see that, you're like, well, for me, I'm like, fuck, like I enough money, like it just makes me feel like this big, right?
Right.
But then I realized I had a revelation at that right. moment where I'm like, I don't necessarily like, if you like me, you like me. That's
right.
it.
Right, right.
I can't like, you know, bring that stuff
yeah.
to the table yet anyway.
Yeah. Well, and you know, look, when that's something that is really valuable to a woman, that is saying something about that woman that is
yeah, not. I mean, I don't think that relationship lasted very long, but and Don't get me wrong. I love Carmen. We're still friends. Yeah. We're still really good friends.
Right, right.
And, you know, and like, as long as she's happy, I don't care what she does.
Yeah.
You know, other people love to try to tell me. I have a standing no update, no anything with everyone I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just doesn't make any sense to me why someone would try to update me about my ex that I broke up with 3 years ago.
Right, right.
It just happened the other day.
Yeah.
And it just, and it
okay, that noise
it doesn't make me
officially
like
officially driving me. Okay, we're in this room because it's quiet. Oh my God.
Okay. I'm sure it's over. Wait.
Okay.
Sitting here talking now.
Yeah, put up a little
randomness. Somehow a wall came in the perfect order to make this happen. No.
Well, look, sorry, listeners, we had to take a break, and this is the podcast that will never end, and we started to talk about God in the elevator, and...
That's a whole other
podcast. It's a whole other, like, hour and a half, for sure. But okay, we have to wrap up, so this is what I was going to tell you. When Googling you...
Oh, no.
I cannot believe you don't know this. What came up... Rumors of the guitar's alleged demise gained traction on Saturday after an RIP Rob Patterson Facebook page attracted nearly 1 million likes. Come on.
That's bullshit.
At about 11 a.m., clearly this is bullshit.
I need those likes on my regular page. What the fuck?
At about 11 a.m. on Saturday, October 24th, 2015.
Wait, that was like, is that a new one?
That was last week?
I died last week.
You died on Saturday, according to this.
So
is
we
crazy.
Are in hell. That's why this is never ending.
That's why hundreds of fans immediately started writing their messages of condolence on the Facebook page, expressing their sadness that the talented 44-year-old guitarist was dead. And as usual, Twitter sphere was frenzied over the death hoax. Immediately skeptical of the report. Some pointed out that the news had not been carried on any major network, which is good to know that it would be on an American major network.
Oh, yeah.
A recent poll conducted for the Celebrity Post shows that a majority, 88%, think those Rob Patterson death rumors are not funny anymore. They did a poll.
But how many of there have there been that they're not funny anymore?
I don't know.
Can you send me that link?
Yes. I can't believe it was on Saturday. No wonder you didn't know. But, I mean, how could you not
what
know?
What happened Saturday? I died.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Saturday, lucky Saturday. Me booking a guest 4 days after his death.
Yeah.
Okay. So, listen, we're wrapping up.
What were we talking about last?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Neither do I.
But
I'm sober now, 4 years. Ha ha. I'm not
amazing.
Dead. Ha ha, everyone. I'm not dead. Ha ha.
What's is November 17th?
No. Where are you getting that? September 17th.
September 17th. Well, look, this has been a pleasure. We would never have hung out.
No.
Ever.
That's not my fault. Maybe it is.
I mean, look, fault.
Well, you're not exactly Miss fucking Sunshine Come Talk to Me. Either.
Are
you know that?
Are you serious? I am
not
Miss
when I saw you.
Sunshine Come Talk to Me.
No,
are you
no,
kidding
no.
me? I'm the friendliest.
No, plus I know some of your friends and they told me to stay away from you.
That's such
I'm
nonsense.
Totally kidding.
Yeah, no, nobody would do that.
That's what people say about me, actually.
No
Which
one
is
has,
the best thing somebody can say about me, by the way.
Right, because it makes you more appealing.
Of course.
Nobody ever said that to me about you. The only person, you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm super friendly. I mean, let's be honest. Am I? I don't know. I think so. It depends. It depends. When I was new in, like, you know, doing the cabin thing and everything, I was just so happy to be, like, among the living again. I had been just holed up for so long.
I don't know if I felt that way when I was new.
Yeah, I did.
Like, oh, no.
I really
this,
did.
It's come down to this.
Depends on how bad it was before.
No, I know.
Mine was bad. Okay, look.
Don't do drugs, okay?
Don't do drugs. Stay sober. No, don't say or do them. Stay sober. Or whatever. Do whatever you need. Okay.
No, well, you know.
Wrong.
I can't stop anyone.
No, no.
And I can't start anyone either.
How was that? Did you like that? Rob Patterson, interesting guy. Bet you would never have known any of those things about him. I sure didn't. Thank you for listening. This was After Party Pod with Rob Patterson.